I'm John Batchelor with my good colleague Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The Gaza peace deal is in indirect talks, that's the way it's characterized, in Cairo. But other capitals are watching all of this for what's in it for us and also for revenge. We go immediately to Ankara and Istanbul. Erdogan, the neo-Ottomanist, has given refuge to the Muslim Brothers many years since they were driven out of Egypt in the rise of President Morsi now. However, the Muslim Brothers are the progenitors of Hamas. It is possible that Hamas is already scattered to the Muslim Brother refuge in Turkey. So what does Turkey want out of these negotiations? Do we have a vision for Erdogan? Is he ready to make war? Is he ready to make peace? Where is he, Jonathan?
It's a good question, John. I think, you know, what we're hearing right now is that Turkey has joined the negotiations. Up until now, it had not. This means that one of two things. One is that they are trying to get Hamas to agree to capitulate under significant pressure from Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has offered the Turks some perks. There are arms deals in the offing. There are arrangements that could lead to the dropping of legal cases against Turkey. The removal of sanctions against Turkey. These are things that I think the Turks would like very much, and Trump is appealing to their national interest. But they could at any moment decide to put Hamas's interests first and allow for Hamas to survive to fight another day. We are just not clear where Turkey is in all of this. What is still clear to us at this point is the animosity that Erdogan has for Israel and his intent to keep the flames of this conflict, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. He's trying to make it one of Islam versus Israel. I don't know if he's been successful up until now, but he has regional ambitions for a neo-Ottoman empire. And so I'm keeping a very close eye on Mr. Erdogan. He is an Islamist. He has been, as you mentioned, the progenitor of the Muslim Brotherhood. He has been a supporter of Hamas, the supporter of ISIS. He has helped Iran evade sanctions at the height of Iran's nuclear quest. He is a dangerous man, and I am uncomfortable seeing him in these negotiations right now because he is very much a wild card. I don't trust him. I don't think the Israelis do either. Let's hope that he is there to bring Hamas to heel. That is the hope. I'm not going to hold my breath, but that is the hope.
Tehran, the Islamic regime, is without air cover. Their economy is flattened with snapbacks. They claim they're reconstituting their suspect nuclear weapons program, which I'm told, at the very best, if they evade all of the sanctions, would take another 2 years to be credible. However, they condemn the deal the moment they hear about it. They have very sophisticated actors throughout the region. The IRGC and the Al-Quds Force are everywhere. What do they want?
Well, it's interesting, John. What we're hearing right now is that amidst news that they just had to slash four zeros off of their currency, the Toman, the other day, they are in bad shape economically. The snapback sanctions, as you mentioned, are biting. The economic isolation is deepening. The political isolation is deepening. And the people of Iran are really not rallying around the flag in the wake of Israel's strikes back in June. In the meantime, what the Iranians are seeing right now is a possibility for a pause in all of this. This, I think, is looking more and more appealing to the regime as they continue to reel from the economic and political and military impacts of this war that they, in fact, started 2 years ago to the day. They right now have indicated, the Iranian regime has indicated, that they are willing to accept the ceasefire if it leads to the end of the bloodshed in Gaza. This is a significant change in tone from the regime. I think it is a sign that Israel has truly emerged as the victor in this contest of wills between Israel and the Islamic Republic. It doesn't mean that it's going to remain this way, but certainly for the moment, it looks as if Iran is willing to lay down its arms, willing to say uncle, if you will, and to allow this conflict to be something of the past.
One more capital, not a hostile capital, but a mysterious one, Riyadh, Mohammed bin Salman. We're told that Mohammed bin Salman has signed on to the peace deal from President Trump. We're also told that after the peace deal is negotiated successfully, They'll be back to business as usual, and that means the Abraham Accords. What does MBS want? Where is he going?
Look, MBS wants a deal with the United States. I think he wants a deal with Israel because it will draw him closer to the United States. I think if you ask me right now, he's watched what the Qataris just did. They went to Donald Trump after Israel attacked Doha back on September 9th. And the Qataris told Donald Trump that they will not allow this to happen again, and they want American guarantees for their security. Donald Trump said, if you can deliver Qatar and if you can end the war, we will give you those guarantees. And that is what we're watching play out right now. If the Qataris do deliver Hamas and the war has ended and the Qataris get those guarantees from the United States, that is exactly what Saudi Arabia will ask for as well. They are going to say, we want American guarantees as well, that an attack on Saudi Arabia will be viewed as an attack upon the United States, and it will trigger an American defensive response. This is what the Saudis want, and they will be willing to trade normalization with Israel in order to get it. And I do think that has always been what MBS wants. He's just not quite there yet. But I think that the war ends, especially if the war ends on the right terms, Israel emerges victorious, America emerges as the broker of the peace. I think normalization between Saudi Arabia and Israel will be something that happens in the near future.
And they'll be followed by the other states then. That's a presumption. Is that still in place, Jonathan?
Yeah, the presumption is we saw the leader of Indonesia get up at the United Nations and say that Israel's security is going to be an important thing to safeguard if we want peace in the region. And he ended his speech with the word shalom, peace in Hebrew, a remarkable thing for the most populist Middle East, or rather a Muslim country in the world to say out loud at the United Nations. I think that gives us a preview of what might be coming if Saudi Arabia says yes to normalization. This is, of course, the custodian of the two holiest mosques in Islam. You can't be holier than the Pope, as they say. And the Saudis are the Pope of Islam. I think the Indonesians will follow. I think we may see other countries from Central Asia, from Sub-Saharan Africa, Muslim countries that will follow suit, knowing that the Saudis are the leaders of the Muslim world.
Our adversaries, Moscow and Beijing, do they want this deal?
I think they would like to keep the chaos going because it is keeping America distracted from some of the other great power competition that lingers off in the background. In other words, as long as the United States is bogged down in the Middle East, Donald Trump cannot devote his full attention to Ukraine or to Taiwan. So I think they see all of this as a net benefit, but I don't know if that's enough to keep the conflict going from Tehran's perspective, from Hamas's perspective, from the Houthi perspective. I just don't know right now, but it is an interesting question we're going to continue to watch.
Jonathan Shanzer, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Executive Director.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,